at 806 FM Talk 1065 Mobile Mornings on this Monday, Election Day Eve here in the state of Alabama. Our phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. I'd like to talk to you this hour, talk about tomorrow, are you heading out to vote? I think this is interesting. You know, statewide, people are expecting very low turnout, but amongst this audience, it's up in the 90% range.
Yeah, of course. I would have expected nothing less,
yes,
honestly.
And we'll do our normal thing tomorrow. And we have a guest on today, like Jeff Sessions. I think Jerry Carl may come on today, but I don't do those interviews on Election Day. What I do on Election Day and have for 11 years here is talk with you. So we keep the candidates off the air on Election Day, at least off the show, advertising plenty, but we talk with you what you're seeing out there, what you're feeling as you vote.
Yeah, and normally, you know, on election days, we start to get calls, well, right after 7 a.m. when polls open. And
yeah, about turnout.
We like to solicit the calls and see, you know, what the turnout looks like at your polling place compared to how it normally looks. That'll be quite a bit different tomorrow because a lot of the polling places, I'm not sure exactly how many, but quite a few had to close the polling place and send people to another polling place because they weren't able to, you know, fit the parameters of safe voting in this new COVID-19 world. But, you know, we've talked a lot about whether people would turn out to vote during the scare of the coronavirus pandemic. I'm wondering, and I think there will be people that still turn out to vote, but what about the people that are currently sick or recovering from COVID-19?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they would be allowed to get out to vote, and depending on when you find out that you're COVID-19 positive,
yeah,
maybe not enough time to get an absentee ballot. How will that affect the polls?
No, you can't get it. Like, if you found out any time, like, late last week, like Friday through this weekend to now, you have no remedy.
Yeah, so all last week, we pretty much, I think, asked everyone that came on the show to talk politics what they thought the turnout would be. I think Rob Holbert probably had the most optimism. He said, what, 15 to 20% turnout?
Mm-hmm.
I still think it'll be right around 5 or 6%. I'm expecting a pretty low turnout, but it'll be really interesting to see how many people turn out. And I do think more people will turn out in Mobile and Baldwin counties than most of the rest of the state, just because we have more races that need to be decided.
That's right. We have, of course, the big draw, not only of the Senate race, but we have the AL1 that will drive people to come out. All right, I want to read through a couple texts here, but y'all can hop on now, too, at 343-0106. So this is good from Doug. He said, I'm a Trump supporter and couldn't believe Jeff Sessions recused himself, but after listening to the ins and outs of why he had to do that, I commend him for standing for the truth. If Tuberville had done a debate with Sessions, it would have been as if Tuberville brought a pocket knife to the fight and Sessions had a machete. Yes, I think that's I think that would be valid. And we got that. You know, I mean, it's, and listen, that's nothing new. If you have polling telling you you're going to win, you know, Governor Ivey did the same thing. You just stay out of the debates. You know, everything to lose, you just go on defense and run defense with it. So we're not getting debate. You know what's sad is we get very few debates anymore. And I think a lot of that is because we have such polarized politics. In other words, that it's such a sure thing. You know, you're not going to get it. Okay, for example, in the general election.
Mm-hmm.
The general election in Alabama, there's no real reason unless it's close, right?
Right.
And that's often not the case in Alabama. In primary politics, you have, I would argue, a better chance of getting a debate. We hosted debates here early on. I think we hosted the first AL1 debate back in November.
Yeah.
Remember that with that full stage? So we had a few of those, but when it gets close, you don't have people wanting to debate.
Yeah, especially with...
We're losing something with that.
Yeah, and you know, in the polls, we've talked about over the last few months that Tuberville does appear to be leading in many of the polls, that it's kind of, you know, he's a football coach. Right now, he's kneeling on the ball and hoping that he gets through the election with that lead. I think there's a lot of people on both sides that are kind of camped in who they're voting for. If you're voting against Sessions, it's because he recused himself from his role as Attorney General there in Washington. A lot of people that are voting for Tuberville are voting for him for the same reason they voted for Trump back in 2016, someone who hasn't been involved in politics that says they're going to go up to Washington and shake things up. I think that's why in this specific instance, it would have been great to see a debate, just to see where the two are alike and where they differ on specific issues. But I think a bigger thing that people will have to decide if they're still undecided, do you want someone who's basically brand new in politics, whether you want him to go up and shake things up, or are you worried that if Tuberville gets into that office that he won't really be able to affect change, having, you know, being a freshman going in? With Sessions, he's someone who has been in Washington. He knows the ins and outs. He's, I'm sure, has great relationships with a lot of people that are up there. So there's quite a few reasons to vote for either one right now. I think a debate would have really helped things, helped decide for a lot of people who they would vote for.
And let me frame how important the Senate seats are for Alabama. There's a pretty good chance we're going to lose a congressional district, right? Go from 7 to 6 districts. Let's hope not, but it, I mean, the situation looks like if Vegas would give odds on us losing after the Senate census, which y'all are still not filling out. We could lose this congressional seat. The Senate is the only place that we get a fair shake, you know, an equal voice. And you don't get that in the House, of course, you get that in the Senate. And the fact is, Richard Shelby, he's not said he's not running again, but in so many words, I don't think he's running again.
Right.
We're in a situation where we have got to have some seniority in the Senate to be able to punch above our weight class, which we did when Sessions was a senator and Shelby was there. We had, I think, the most senior senatorial delegation in Washington. You may not like this system, but this is the rules as we play it now. I'm not here to fall on the sword first. If other states want to, you know, reset their senatorial delegation and go junior every you know, 6 years, that's fine. But I'm not ready to do that for the state of Alabama. So you got to think decisions made now are going to carry forward as well. All right, to the phones, and let's go to Marcus in Saraland first. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, how you doing? Well, actually, I live in Lee, and I grew up in Saraland. But
okay.
I was listening to Quinn Hilliard, I caught the tail end of what he was talking about over the weekend, and he was talking something about Tommy Tuberville, something that may come out after the runoff more in detail about him and a partner he had that was involved in some kind of financial thing, and his partner actually got convicted for it, but he got off because he said something to the fact that he didn't know enough about money or finances to do anything, but he was involved in, and he was one of the point people for it. And they say in the paperwork that he even had in the paperwork that he would be directly responsible for that money. But then when it come to went to court, he wiggled out of it. But they said that the New York Times had the story on it. And I just wondered if y'all knew anything about
what we've
talking about.
Yeah, Marcus, we've talked about this a bunch on the show over the last few weeks, and this story. That was Quinn Hilliard reported it, and the information had been out there, but Quinn Hilliard put it together with a few more facts, and then New York Times picked it up. Was it last week, a weekend ago?
Or two? I think it was either early last week or a couple weeks ago. New York Times Magazine ran a feature,
and it was this hedge fund that existed that had a. It depends on how you look at it, right? You say that Tommy Tuberville was not convicted. He settled in civil court for millions on this, but he was not convicted. While the partner did go to jail on this, it's. It depends on who you want to believe, right? I mean, people will say, well, because he says, well, he's not a numbers guy, didn't know what's going on. And I'll see people roll their eyes and say, of course he knew what was going on. And then I see other people go, well, of course he didn't know what's going on. So I don't know. It's a big story, but I think it's not a campaign breaker the way others have thought it was. I think it is of interest, but do most people, Marcus, go, I'm going to change my vote because of this? I don't know. I'm open to people telling me. What do you think?
Yeah, also, you were saying something about, you know, people might vote for Tuberville because he's new to politics, but not only is he new to politics, he's actually new to Alabama because he's only lived in Alabama as far as a resident for 2 years, even though he was a coach at Auburn. But
yeah, I wonder about
that. He's not really an Alabama person.
No, he isn't. He isn't. And is that, that's a question, too. Does that, I think that, Marcus, is more than this other story. I think that one has more legs. I'm not discounting the other story about the hedge fund. I'm just saying for people to understand, they may question somebody who is, you know, did he decide on Alabama because he said, here's a Senate race I can win versus doing it in Florida?
And also, if Sessions goes back to the Senate, he takes all his seniority with him, and he'll be able to have zero.
Not exactly. As much as I wish that was true, he doesn't. So we've talked about that in the past. The only thing, the advantage he would have is, in the incoming class of freshman senators, if he were to be elected, he would have seniority and connections beyond any of the other incoming senators, but he would not bring it back. Yeah, we dug into that over the last few months, and he does not, unfortunately, come in with, you know, the because we need that. We need that seniority. We got to build it again. So, Marcus, I appreciate the call.
While I was on the phone, I wanted to say hello to Dalton. I'm actually going to Dalton's neck of the woods. I'm on my way to Grove Hill right now.
All right.
I actually work for the paper in Grove Hill. Somebody he probably knows named Ross Wood.
That's right.
And Ross is actually running for mayor of Grove Hill. I don't know if Dalton had heard that
yet
or not.
Yep. Saw it on Facebook this weekend.
But anyway, thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate the call, Marcus. So,
yeah, down home right there.
Some Clark County talk. Now we're talking.
Heading up 43.
We can talk Clark County. Yeah. I'll do the Washington County side. You'll do the Clark County side. We'll get this locked.
Got it covered.
All right. Good deal. Coming right back to your phone calls at 343-0106. All right, 821 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Phone number 343-0106, coming to the phones. There's a lot of text coming in here, too. A lot of support of Jeff Sessions, which he's got to have. He's got to make hay here in our area, for sure. Ben says Tommy Tuberville is a punk grifter from Florida. He should be ashamed of himself for how he's donned your station and others. Hell, Doug Jones has been on your station more than Tubbs. Listen to me, people. If you want what's best for Alabama, then vote for Jeff Sessions. It's time for the coach to go back to Florida. Lauren says, I'm voting for integrity. Sessions. This texter, unnamed texter, I'm wondering if Tuberville decided to run in Alabama rather than Florida because it's a race he thinks... Not because it's a race he thinks he can win, but because Alabama politics is so corrupt, he thinks maybe he can get in on it.
Wow.
Wow, Bert. All right. To the phones. And Tony in Fairhope up first. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Sean. Listen, I maybe I'm just simple-minded, but here's the deal. This election is about sending somebody to Washington that they can best represent my values and the state of Alabama. That is best qualified to represent my values in the state of Alabama. So if I take the president out of the mix, forget the president. They both support the president. Yep. At least they say they do. Forget what the president's saying. Look at both candidates. It's simple. Ray Charles could see the answer to this. Jeff Sessions is well qualified. He's done it for years. He knows what he's doing. He's got the job. His opponent couldn't find the bathroom in the House of Congress up there. Listen, it's not that hard.
There we go. Appreciate the call. It's and you talk about take the president out of the mix. The other part of this is what happens after. So if President Trump doesn't win in November, or if he does and has another 4 years, eventually there'll be a time when there's not a President Trump, okay, in office. How do we, and it may be, you know, you may answer this question differently. It may be Tuberville, it may be Sessions, but who is best for Alabama in that position when President Trump is not in office?
Yeah, but we also mentioned the seniority earlier. And, you know, whoever wins this election, even if Doug Jones wins this election, he has a couple years head start in seniority. But Jeff Sessions, what, 73 years old?
Right.
And I know Tuberville is not much younger. I think he's maybe 8 or 9 years younger than Sessions. But how long could we expect if Sessions were to win this race? How much longer would he be serving as a senator?
I don't know, but I tell you what, I'll ask him. I'll ask him that, you know, when he's on today at noon. But... You know, the Senate is probably not the best thing, but the Senate is like, let's look at the average age of the Senate. It's older.
Mm-hmm.
It's older. Like, if you're in your 70s, you're like a spring chicken around there.
Yeah, well, I think we were kind of not joking a couple weeks ago, where anytime, you know, you hear a story about a senator or a Supreme Court justice falling, it seems like that's how a majority of our leaders are sent to the hospital now from falling. That's just because so many of them are so old. I mean, look at the presidential race right now. The main debate is who has better cognitive functioning right now, because they're both, you know, older and both have been made fun of for slip-ups that they've made. But
You've lost your mind. No, you've lost your mind.
Right. I mean, the age issue, that's something that needs to be brought up at some point.
All right. Let's go to David in Mobile next. David.
Hey, Sean. To answer Tony's question about who's more qualified, my response to that would be the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different result. So Sessions has been up there, and so we know where we're going to get. So
wait.
To send him back.
Wait, before you go further. So what about Jeff Sessions' time in the Senate was something you wouldn't want to repeat? How did he fail?
Well, right off the top of my head, I'll say the permanent most favored nation trading status for China was a mistake.
And how many years was that ago?
That was 20 years ago.
Okay.
But anyway,
and do you think he's been compelling over the last decade and pushing against China and other trade deals that were imbalanced for the United States?
Except for the immigration issue, I think he's been pretty much a backseater, a seater to let other people take the reins of leadership and moving issues forward.
You know, one of the most important, when polled, issues for Alabamians in 2016 from a national sense?
Was immigration, but that's not what I want to talk about. I do want to break some news, though. People in Fairhope are going to be upset this morning because one of the trees at the main intersection at 98 and Section Avenue got damaged by the storms overnight to the point that they're going to have to cut down one of the trees. So,
that whole area. We got, y'all don't know, but I'll spill the dirt. Behind the scenes with Dr. Bill before we went on, Dr. Bill had a big, he's not far from right there. He had a big tree down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but I want to say, are you interested in making a wager? Because I have a prediction for how the Senate race in AL District 1 is going to go.
Okay, we'll lay it out, and I'll see if it's worth, you know, me getting in.
Okay. I predict Jeff Sessions is going to win Mobile County.
I agree
predict
with that.
Tommy Tuberville is going to win Baldwin County by less than 5% percentage points. And the rest of the district, Tommy Tuberville is going to beat Jeff Sessions by around 10%.
So what you're saying, within AL 1...
Correct.
Okay. We'd be in agreement on Mobile County. I'm going to, to make it interesting, I think Sessions wins Baldwin County. I think Sessions wins AL1. There we go. Yeah, we'll go out on limb there.
And I'll put a fat tire on it, Sean.
Okay, there we go. So we're gambling for beer. That's good.
What's new?
Yeah, there we go. All right. So, yeah, I think Sessions wins AL1.
It'll be interesting. Now, the lower turnout.
Even though, and those of y'all just listened, by the way, we understand that Senate is not AL1, but we're using that as parameters for an area.
Yeah, who do you think lower turnout benefits? Are we saying Sessions, or does it matter?
You know, early on it was Sessions would benefit from it. Then people say, I can just give you my theory.
Mm-hmm.
The lower turnout benefits Sessions, but I could probably turn around next break and make an argument against myself. But my gut instinct is lower turnout favors Sessions.
Yeah, I think more than ever this election, the candidate needs to give you a kick in the pants to get out to the polls. I think whoever has the most motivated group of voters will be the one that comes out victorious tomorrow. Just because there's a lot of questions, you know, with the pandemic, with the numbers rising. I think a lot of people are going to be scared to get out.
It's an interesting question from Jordan on the text line. Do you think Bradley Byrne will run for Senate again? Well, that's an interesting question. That's maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. All right, let's see. Do we have time to dance? Let's quickly go to Joel in Mobile. Hey, Joel.
Hey, good morning, Sean.
Morning.
It's not like Sessions is going in there. I mean, he's been around a long time. It's not like he's going to start at ground level. Just, I mean, yeah, he might not have top seniority like he used to, but it's not like he's going in there like Tommy Tuberville was blinded. You know what I mean? I mean, he knows a lot of people, and he's been around, so... and the last caller, I live in Baldwin County, and all I'm hearing is Sessions, so I don't know where he's coming from talking about, Tuberville's going to win Baldwin County.
Yeah,
maybe he knows some people that I don't know.
Well, maybe we'll get you in on the bet here. We'll have to get a whole six-pack of beer on this. But I have a feeling like Baldwin County, like you, goes to Sessions. Actually, I think if you include AL1-ish. In other words, let's talk, you know, Washington County, Clark County, Scambia County, Monroe County. Yeah, I think that all goes for Sessions. But mm-hmm. the question is, what happens in the rest of the state? That's the big one.
Right. I mean, you know, I just can't see voting for somebody that's only been part of the state for a couple of years. Yeah, he was a football coach, but when you come down to it, is he a true Alabamian? That's what I want. And you know, Jeff Sessions had to do what he had to do. That's the bottom line. I mean, he went by the law.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, but is he a true Alabamian? Yes, Jeff Sessions is, and Tommy Tuberville isn't. I just think he's just running to be running.
There
y'all
you
have
go.
A great day.
Hey,
love
Joel.
Listening to you, buddy.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate you listening. All right, so we'll take some more calls when we get back here. But, of course, tomorrow polls open at 7. We'll see. Now that I'm on the spot here. Mm-hmm. Or what happens in AL1. I think you'll get, where am I on the bet? I think 8% turnout.
Yeah, I think now, you went with 8.
I may move that to 10.
I'm still staying low.
You stay low. I may go to 10 with this. When do we have to confirm Midday Mobile today?
Yeah.
To final.
Okay. Final bet's in by Midday Mobile.
All right, 8:30. Coming right back. News is next.
On FM Talk 106.5, you're listening to Mobile Mornings. It's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis. Hey, Louis, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
Hey, doing fantastic here at FM Talk 106.5. You know, there's a fishing tournament coming up this weekend, the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Going to be lots of boats out there on the water, and of course you need something to tow those boats with. What kind of trucks you got in stock?
Right, we got 3/4 ton. You know, we're getting about a truckload a week of trucks. Really, got great deals on them. Got a rebate up to $6,000. Don't forget that employee pricing on our great line of SUVs. Don't forget about our used car stuff. Can't afford a new one? Come over there and see us next door. We've got some used diesels. We got a traded in a 19 Sierra Denali the other day, and it's nice. And just come by and see us. Yeah, don't forget about the fishing rodeo. Yeah, that's pretty big for all of us around here. You know, we were one of the sponsors for a long time and sold a lot of trucks down there, and appreciate all them doing all what they're doing down there. And everybody, well, can't go down there, I don't think, but have to talk to Sean about that. He'll tell you about that.
Yeah, and you know, Louie, it's been really hot out there. Maybe for some, too hot to walk around the lot. That's why the website is so great, McConnellAutomotive.com.
That's right. The website is wonderful. And you know, don't forget about the body shop, too. I mean, we got some great guys back there. And, you know, you get out in the slick roads out there and have an unfortunate accident, come back there and see Gary and the guys and the girls. They'll take care of your insurance needs and everything.
Yeah. So. Oh.
Good. It's a one-stop shop here, right in beautiful Midtown Dolphin Street.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, day 38, and so what is it? War Damn Sessions. Got it a text here. I'm going to throw one more thing out, too, on the mask question here for the state of Alabama, where the Big Ten mayors have asked the governor to implement a statewide mask order. She doesn't seem like she's going to do that, leaving it up to the individual municipalities and counties out there to pass the mask ordinances there. Louisiana passed a statewide recommendation or statewide order for that. So did Texas, right? So those are two. And President Trump over the weekend, it got some attention because President Trump wore a mask publicly, right? So there's a lot of hubbub because President Trump wore that mask. I think he was at Walter Reed. So I throw this out. We talked about it last week and talked about it some with my buddy Dale Jackson, that as this mask or not mask thing has become such a political issue, do you believe a theory that would say wearing of masks benefits the reelection of President Trump? Okay, because people see it and they'll go, it's just that's, you know, there are some people, I hope it's a majority of folks that are judging based on science or you know, what they can do to make, you know, make other people safe or at least keep a business open, to have mask on. But then there's one side of it that's all political. If I wear a mask, I'm anti. If I wear a mask, I'm anti-Trump. You know, if I don't wear the mask, I show my support for the president. But let me argue the other side of this for a second and say that if wearing the mask leads to some, whether actual mitigation in cases or the governments will open businesses back up, not, or not close them or not have them at reduced capacity, that leads to an economy recovering. Mm-hmm. And a recovering economy, I think, serves President Trump better than it does Biden come November. So could you make the argument that wearing the mask, even if you didn't believe it helped, let's say you didn't believe it helped, made any difference out there, would you wear a mask because you think it's a signal here for the economy to stay open, to not be shut down, to not be reduced in capacity, those things leading to a better economy come November and better chances for President Trump in the general election?
It's interesting. I think it all does ride on the economy. And we're seeing, I think, Florida and Texas and other parts that are starting to close things down again, just like we saw 3 or 4 months ago. And, you know, we've been doing not only the corona numbers every day, but also the unemployment numbers that come out every Thursday, as shocking as those have been over the last few months. But we've seen some recovery here over the last couple of months, where there have been fewer people on unemployment, more people going back to work. As more people, you know, get laid off again or furloughed, those numbers are going to start to look bad. If the masks truly do work, if they are able to slow down the spread of the coronavirus, which, you know, you can argue it all you want, but there has been an increase in cases and there has been more testing, but we've seen the percentage of people testing positive rise also, which shows that the cases are
it's not just overall, it's as a percentage of the
that's exactly group. Right. And there's so much still to figure out about the virus, but the best thing for Trump would obviously be if he could snap his fingers, or if any of us could snap our fingers and end this pandemic tomorrow and everyone get back to work and the economy get back on the right track. That would be great. But, I saw a tweet earlier this morning with someone saying the markets are basically acting in the inverse of the coronavirus. Like, the worse coronavirus gets, the better the markets are beginning because they know that the government is going to intervene and push more cash into the economy, which is what's helping the markets right now. So I wish that it hadn't been politicized, but, you know, we don't live in an ideal world.
Everything's politicized.
Everything is politicized. And it was big news that Trump wore that mask over the weekend. But I think it's comical. Some of these people that you look at them on social media and they were like, I'm never wearing a mask. I hate masks. And then just because the president put a mask on, they're like, wow, this is magnificent. Masks are the best thing ever. I wish I knew what it was like to base my entire worldview and my entire thoughts on one person. Just whatever. Yeah. And it's
cult
for both
personality.
Sides. Yeah, it's for both sides. You know, if Trump does something, for a lot of people, that means it's automatically something that's bad and something they'd never do again. And if he does something for the other side, they're saying, well, that's exactly what I'm going to do now. It's absolutely absurd. But as far as the economy goes, I think we need to be doing whatever we can to help keep this economy afloat.
And you should, by default, of course, we want the economy to recover and go on. But I just wonder strategically, because people say, well, the masks are working against Trump. Maybe in fact it doesn't. Maybe the mask lead to school getting back in. But whether you believe it works or not, like, does it, it leads to school going back and the economy recovering and all those things that I would believe would benefit President Trump, even though Biden has come out with his plan to economic recovery.
Build back better, Sean.
Yeah, build back better. That's right. It's a hot take. What about that? If you're somebody who's like, I hate the mask. What if the masks are what leads to President Trump getting reelected? What about your opinion on them then? FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday, Election Day Eve, on the runoff here. All right, everything else is, well, everything's normal. My foot. How about this? Polls open at 7, close at 7. Beyond that, there are some differences there. Voting during a pandemic and a mask order, which, by the way, we talked about that last week, that they can ask you to pull your mask down to confirm your photo ID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
Because so, you have... So state law supersedes county regulation and city ordinance at that point.
I guess it makes sense, right? So you don't want people showing up to act like they're someone else and just have a mask on.
Yep, that's... I'm just saying these are things. There's Walt's picture of his... That's a cool mask. People are taking this mask thing to a fashion level. I feel pretty... like I'm too regular because I just have a regular mask, and there's all these people with cool masks on, and I'm like, here I am in my basic issue mask.
I ordered a couple cool masks about 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, whenever, where are they now?
Whenever we knew that Mobile was going to put in the mask ordinance, and it started in North Carolina, these masks that I ordered. They shipped them up to the most northern post office in North Dakota because I think they got...
They actually originally were going to Alberta, right?
Right. I think they Canada. Got Alberta confused with Alabama. So my masks went up to North Dakota. They were supposed to be here last Monday. I've been tracking them. They still haven't come to my house. So I think I should be getting my masks in right around the time the pandemic ends, which is perfect timing, I would say.
This texter says, I hate the mask, but will wear it if it helps get Trump elected.
Interesting.
This texter says, masks work with eye protection. All right. So, yeah, if you would you wear the mask if the mask is of benefit to getting President Trump reelected?
You know what it seems to me? And initially, you know, the people that kept calling the president a dictator, you know, fascist, they were the same people that wanted him to enact a nationwide ordinance and tell everybody that they had to wear masks, or they wanted the nationwide shutdowns. And then now we're hearing the cities here, you know, mayors in Alabama asking the governor to put in a statewide ordinance. Seems like from the top down, you've got businesses and cities that want the cities to enact these mask ordinances so that the businesses aren't liable for making that decision. So that people can't say, well, why are you making me wear a mask when I can go down the road and they aren't? So,
right, or make a decision, I'm never shopping there because they require a mask, or I'm never shopping there because they don't require a mask.
So everyone's kind of, it seems, passing the buck up. Like the businesses want the mayors to make that decision for them. The mayors want the governors to make that decision for them. And then the governors want the federal government to make the decision for them.
Yes.
Is everyone in politics these days just scared to make a decision and ride with it?
Mm-hmm.
It's absurd.
Yes. Yes. It's the best position to be in is the one. Well, and the idea about the business side of it, you know what? They're not elected to make those decisions.
Right.
Right. So I can understand they're in the business of business. People are like, oh, that business conservative or that business liberal. Those businesses want to do business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They want to do business. And beyond that, sure, it would be a nice CYA to have an ordinance say that, you know, we're doing this because these are the rules. Okay. Then, like you said, so the mayors don't want to do it. Go up the line. Where does it... The president said early on, President Trump said, he's going to leave it up to the states. Remember he said that? Leave it up to the states. So, and I like that. I like that. Not an overreach from the feds. Leave it up to the states. So, to me, that says kind of the place from coming up and coming down that the buck stops is at governor's offices.
Right. But, you know, we elect these people to be leaders. You're supposed to make the tough decisions. That's what being a leader is all about. And everyone's so scared about their next election that it doesn't seem like they're sitting down. And I know that there's a lot of leaders. Mayor Stimson, the city council, they sit down, they look at the stats, and they make decisions. But across the country, people are just, they're more worried about their reelection chances than they are of actually sitting down and making those tough decisions. It's something that annoys me.
That's, yeah. So what do you hire them for? What do you hire them for is the question. And we're talking about that tomorrow on Election Day. We're in that hiring process. By the way, you and I talked about this during the break. I don't know why I'm adding it other than it came up in our discussions. This is how you, this is how you make some money. You go do keep yourself in the news cycle, have people criticize you, have people wonder if your company is going to leave California and go to Texas or wherever else. Elon Musk, his net worth increased on Friday by $6 billion.
Ooh, that's a nice bonus.
One day. So he's now richer than Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, whose wealth has declined over recent years after giving away $37 billion worth of stock since 2006. Tesla is now the world's most valuable car company. Now think about that. Think about when you drive up and down the roads of Mobile and Baldwin County. How many Teslas do you see?
Not many.
Okay.
Not any.
Right. You don't see a lot of Teslas already. I think I've seen a couple over time because my daughter, who loves them, points them out. But so Ford, GM, Tesla is the world's most valuable car company, despite producing tiny numbers of actual vehicles compared to its competitors. This is a weird, where it's all on the come, I guess, all on the bet. Interview here from Bloomberg Television. It says Tesla is now the world's most valuable car company, despite producing tiny numbers of actual vehicles compared to the competitors. Musk recently called Tesla's enormous rise irrational exuberance. So the CEO of the company is calling the rise in the stock irrational exuberance, which is, hey, it could be pretty fair. He said the economy is grinding down, slowing down. We're lurching in and out of COVID, yet the tech market makes new highs every day, he told Bloomberg Television. It's a classic speculative bubble. So if I'm him, I'll cash that money in from Friday. Despite his recent wealth increase, Musk is far from the richest person on Earth. That title goes to
Bezos.
Yes, yeah. He's worth, y'all ready? $189 billion.
That's insane. And that's after the divorce.
Yes, after he gave her money there. $189 billion. It's unreal.
Yeah,
it's unreal.
And you could argue that the economy shutting down helped Bezos more than just about anybody.
Yes.
I mean, think of where everyone's been shopping for the most part over these last few months. They've been getting things from Amazon.
Right. And in that, you see the surge in wealth. You go, okay, it makes sense that, you know, the value of that company goes up and up because of the situation. But Tesla, they're not... I mean, where's our local Tesla dealer?
Right. I know we have some charging places.
Where's our local... And this company... And I think Elon Musk is a pretty interesting guy, actually. But this is all on the come. Because, I mean, there's not... It's valued higher than Ford and GM or whatever. There's not cars on your block from Tesla.
Right. So imagine how much money he stands to make if people do start driving Teslas.
It's just weird that it's surging that high right now. And he's even saying in that interview, going, hey, maybe not.
Yeah, it's actually absolutely unbelievable. And, of course, he's got a lot going on with the space station. You know, they sent the rocket up there, sent a couple Americans to the International Space Station. Really interesting character. I know I've got that Elon Musk biography that I'll read someday, but today's not that day.
Mike says, I think 70% of Tesla's customer base lives in the Gulf Shores, Orange Beach area. Is that where you got to go to see them? I'd love to drive one sometime, but I just don't. It's just amazing to see how valuable that company is, and you're like, but you see no vehicle.
Yeah, do you drive one or do you ride around in one? I'm still not sure. How much do you actually have to drive the Tesla? How much of it is autopilot now? I don't even know. I guess when you get out on the highway, it's on autopilot. Or I know in California they've got them driving around blocks, but pretty amazing stuff.
But can you put that thing in like drive mode, right? Like you can just drive it.
Surely, yes. Yeah, I think there is a drive mode, but...
Like, where you're doing the driving.
Right.
It's not all...
And if you've... I don't know if you've seen some of those videos with Tesla's drag racing some of these other cars. They can get up and go, too.
They got torque, electric... I mean, you see that with battery-powered golf cart vehicles, too.
Yeah.
Versus, as much as I like my gasoline engines and stuff, the torque those jokers produce... Some of those electric buggies...
Yeah, they get after it.
I mean, incredible amount of torque. And,
yeah.
So off the line, I got to imagine they're way faster than the Tesla's going to have a big advantage here off the line versus a gas powered engine.
They do. And if you want to hear some more Tesla talk, Tom Claxton, car doctor tonight with Kevin Raywinkle. Tom Claxton knows more about these new electronic vehicles than anyone I know. And I wouldn't have pegged Mr. Claxton for knowing about some of these.
But he knows cars, though.
So, he knows cars better than anyone, but he can tell you all about those Teslas. It's pretty amazing stuff.
Mike is also saying must be in autopilot mode because most of the drivers are usually reading books or magazines. It's been a long time until I can bring myself to do that. All right, out of here for a few hours. Mike Gallagher on the way next. We'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Right now, looks like our first batter up will be Jeff Sessions at 12:05.